Lake Effect continues on Milwaukee Public Radio. I'm Joy Powers.
And I'm Mitch Tite. Lake Effect Bonnie North talks with cellist Robert Cohen each month for our On That Note segment, and often the recordings take place with Bonnie in the Lake Effect studio and Robert in some far-flung place where he is performing either on his own or as part of the Fine Arts Quartet.
But today, not only did Robert join Bonnie in the studio, but he also brought along a special guest.
Hi, Robert. It is great to see you.
Great to see you too, Bonnie. Pleased to be here with you in the studio.
In the studio with a cello.
Indeed.
This is great. We've been talking about doing this for about 6 months. And between your schedule and mine and where you are and all of that, we just have never been able to make it happen until now.
No, now I've got my baby with me.
That's right. And we're going to hear a little bit later. But I thought it was a perfect time to talk about how you approach pieces. And then you can demonstrate different ways that we might think about a phrase or think about a piece. And I was thinking Bach would be a perfect thing, because so many people, even if they don't know, they've heard some of the unaccompanied suites for cello.
Yes. I mean, like this.
That one. That's that very, very
familiar,
famous one.
I think, yes.
Yeah, it's so beautiful. Now, when you first sit down with those, I mean, these are part of the standard repertoire for cellists. Everyone has played them. Everyone has looked at them, interpreted them. How do you approach it the first time, or even the 50th time, if you were to sit down and somebody said, I would like you to put that on a concert?
Well, I think what's interesting about how we work with the music, or how I work with the music, is in Bach it's really interesting because he writes the notes, but he doesn't write anything else, or there's no documentation to show exactly what he would have wanted other than the notes and the music, which is clear, but at the same time, most music has a lot of markings that the composer writes to explain the atmosphere, whether it's soft, it's loud, whether it's building with crescendos, whether there are lines and articulations, accents, words which explain whether they want you to be tranquillo, quietly, you know, calmly, or whether they want you to be with a lot of tension. They show that in words and markings in the music. But Bach doesn't write anything like that, so he leaves it entirely up to you. And that's what's sort of fascinating for cellists, because you really have to have your own idea of how you want it to be. And since the music is so flexible and so extraordinary, the character of G major in this case, of the first suite, is an open, calm character. So, for instance, if I were to play like this in G major, but if I were to move that to A flat, that's a different color and a different character immediately.
It's warmer somehow.
Is it?
To me.
Yes. Well, there you are. Everybody reacts differently, but it could be, you know, it could be E flat like that. Each key has a different character, which is why music works so brilliantly all the time, because composers choose the key that suits the music they want to write. So he starts with this open G major sound, and then from there you have to say, well, how is the line going to be? For instance, is it going to be a very legato? Kind of
everything's connected.
Everything's connected. Or is it going to be something which is more separate? So that shows that's a different energy, obviously. And also it starts to show the interior, the voices inside as you go along. I'm just demonstrating the first phrase, really. But as the music progresses, you start to hear that Bach writes in a way like as though it was for a choir. So there are bass notes. And so when the chord changes, you hear that change. If you smooth everything together, you start not to notice those details so much. Now, there's another point, which is really the tempo, the heartbeat of the music, because the pulse in music is telling you everything in terms of how excited to be. Because if I play... obviously, you know, there's a fast beat and it's very, very exciting. If I play... you know, this is going to make us all feel incredibly relaxed. And it's all related to the pulse. So that's something that when I'm working with the music, I have to test those things. A lot of composers write a metronome mark, which means so many beats per minute, and it says 60, which is kind of one, two, like this. So it's... But then Bach doesn't write anything. So he's saying, you know, you're free to decide on these sort of things. And, you know, in the music business, this causes amazing amount of friction between people who believe Bach should be one way or another. Because they say, oh, no, in those days it would have been played this way or that way. But, you know, I'm sure if he'd actually wanted it to be played in a certain way, he would have said so, because... it's very simple to do that, but he somehow leaves this all for us to do.
So what about received interpretations? Because at this point, this has been recorded many, 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 many
yes.
times over probably 70 years now, maybe longer.
Yes.
I don't know when the first recording of this actually occurred, but we have many different ways that people have approached this particular music. When you sit down with it, how much of that do you consider, and how much of that do you just put out of your head and you say, I'm not going to consider what other people have done?
Well, you know, there are certain recordings that one grows up with, like the Pablo Casals recording, because he was, in a way, the first person to really bring them to the world. And, of course, he was one of the greatest cellists who ever lived. So, you know, listening to his performances, one takes so much from that. And you learn from it. You learn what you think, well, I like that, but I'm not so keen on this. Or, you know, that's an inspirational thought. So you absorb that. And then you might listen to other people. And I think usually it's best when you listen to people play Bach live. I mean, it's a beautiful thing to have recording, and especially one that you like. But there's something about the physicality of and the personal quality of Bach's solo cello suites. When you're in a room with somebody alone with the cello, as we are now, it becomes so personal, and it's such a voyage of discovery in this music.
Moving from Bach, who, of course, maybe at the end you'll play us a little more of that, but we were also talking before we turned the microphones on about another wonderful, phenomenal cello piece, and that's the Dvorak Concerto. A completely different mm-hmm. time. We're in the Romantic period. I'm sure Dvorak wrote a lot of markings. He probably indicated much more.
He did.
Okay.
Yes.
So how do you approach that, where you do have much more of a guide from the composer?
Well, it's really interesting. Again, you talked about listening to recordings, and there have been so many traditions of how to play Dvorak. But interestingly, most of them have ignored what he really wrote, and people have taken their own personal view and kind of imprinted it on the score, and in doing so have ignored the very great details sometimes that Dvorak writes. But there are certain moments where he leaves you to be free, like the very opening, for instance, after the orchestra has played for 7 or 8 minutes a lot of the material in an incredibly exciting way. Then the cello arrives and suddenly the soloist appears. And he writes in those first few bars ad lib. So despite the clear markings, he also wants you to be free before the orchestra joins you properly. And those first notes are really, really exciting. I mean, I'll just play a moment. Like this. And this is after the symphony orchestra has just played. And because the symphony orchestra is so huge and so exciting. You come in and you think, oh my goodness, it's just me and the cello, and I've somehow got to match what they've done. And maybe that's why he says ad lib, in order that you feel free enough to express as much as you can, rather than just follow the way the orchestra had played it before. And now what's happening is that we're understanding the language of Czech music and a Czech composer, the Slavic qualities that make it more interesting than if you absolutely just follow the rhythms that he writes. So he writes... But the short notes are the ones which, when you add the spice of the Czech music, you get... They become more compressed and more articulated. And then, of course, what I'm doing is adding the dynamics, the push with each note. So it's... So with crescendos and things to really push you to listen to the next moment, to drive the music forward. But that's just how I feel about it. Somebody else might feel differently, but that's the sense I have when I look at the score. How am I going to be free? He doesn't tell me to do those little crescendos or to tighten the rhythms, but that makes me feel freer and more excited by the music and more driven. And then it helps me to make up for the fact that I'm just a cellist and not a whole symphony orchestra, and also to introduce, you know, the cello in a very passionate way. And that, of course, is what makes the whole work so incredible.
And beautifully melodic.
Indeed. It's got everything. Because, you know, Dvorak was sitting around his kitchen table with the kids running around writing melodies. They were just pouring into his hand, out of his heart, onto the paper. And he just loved songs and loves melody. So, of course, you get so many. And he just can't get enough of them into the cello concerto. The cello is just ideal for being melodic as well as dramatic, of course. And in fact, Brahms, when he heard this cello concerto, said, you know, oh my goodness, I never realized I should have written a cello concerto because it can be that wonderful.
And I'm listening to the Dvorak and earlier the Bach. And to me, Bach is amazingly passionate too, but in a very different way. And so we're getting like almost two extremes of passion with just these two composers.
Yeah, because, you know, we always come back to this, don't we, Bonnie, that, you know, the music, the great music comes with this enormous amount of love. You know, simply when you listen to the Bach, there is a beauty and a heartfelt quality all the time, which is... when it's right, when the music expresses itself, it comes out so clearly. And that is the same in whether it's Bach or Dvorak, because they are great works of music and they affect us emotionally and they affect our hearts. And so, of course, that's exactly why you feel that way.
Would you leave us with something to listen to
on our way out?
A little Bach, perhaps?
A little Bach, perhaps.
Yeah.
Do you want something a little bit more upbeat, or would you like something...
Your choice.
Okay, well, I'll stay with the G major, because we talked about G major, and this is the Saraband.
Robert, as always, it's such a pleasure. And thank you for bringing the cello.
My pleasure, too.
Robert Cohen is the cellist for the Milwaukee-based Fine Arts Quartet, and he joins us and Bonnie North each month for a segment called On That Note.